Hello, people who listen to this podcast. I'm Andrew. I host it. I'm sick. I have a cold or something, sore throat. I'm drinking some coffee. Sorry for those who don't like drinking on mic. And that's probably not good for the sore throat. But I didn't fall asleep last night. So that's where I'm at. This is a representation of how I feel inside right now. Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. Here's something you need to know about me. I am a huge fan of the West Wing. There was literally like a 2 or 3 year period where that show was just constantly on the loop. I must have watched it at least 5 or 6 times through from start to finish. And so naturally, when I saw the West Wing Weekly podcast pop up on the iTunes page, I knew I was going to like it. And ever since I've been listening to it, it's been tugging at my heart to go back and rewatch it. So last night, when I couldn't sleep, I turned on The West Wing. Now, if you saw the description to this week's podcast and saw that it said Parks and Rec, you might be wondering what I am doing talking about The West Wing. Well, not only is it a great show, not only is The West Wing Weekly a great podcast, but there's actually a lot of similarities between Parks and Recreation and The West Wing. A few years ago, I heard an interview with Michael Schur, one of the creators of Parks and Recreation, and he was talking about this very same thing.
This is How to Do Everything. I'm Ian.
And I'm Mike.
Apparently, this is the episode where I tell you to listen to other podcasts.
So on the line now is Michael Schur. He was a writer on The Office and a co-creator of Parks and Recreation, also on NBC.
Both fine shows.
Now, I know Rob Lowe was in both Parks and Rec and The West Wing, and they even have had their fair share of walk and talks. But Parks and Rec is more like The West Wing than you may realize.
NBC approached Greg Daniels, who adapted The Office for American TV, about doing a new show, and he asked me to do it with him, and we sat in a diner in Ventura or Studio City every morning for 3 hours and just sort of tossed around ideas and drank coffee. And we were talking about a lot of different ideas about government. I was a West Wing fan, and I thought a comedy version of the West Wing would be kind of fun. Yeah. The idea being in the West Wing, the stakes for the characters from episode to episode are, you know, China is about to invade Kazakhstan or something for oil. And the stakes of, the comedy version in a small town in Indiana would be, you know, can we fill in this pit with dirt? And I sort of thought that, like, treating the local problems are the sort of comedy equivalent of federal or international problems.
I thought that was a really clever idea. And like The West Wing and most good shows, Parks and Recreation wasn't about the day-to-day politics. It was about the people. It was about the characters that we followed and fell in love with. And just the other day, I was thinking about this. I was in Pasadena, and I drove by the City Hall, which is what they used for the exterior shot in Parks and Recreation. And I live near this pizza place, which was the exterior for Tom's Bistro. And it's a great show, but for all those reasons, I feel like Parks and Rec is kind of always in the back of my mind somewhere. But I also think it has a lasting power. You know, I think it's going to be up there with Cheers and Seinfeld as one of the great comedy shows. It's interesting to think about, too, because I think most sitcoms, especially, it usually seems to be either a family, an actual family, or sort of like a makeshift pair family. And the powerful, special moments you remember are when the family has to band together to sort of defeat the odds or work together to accomplish a shared goal, which, like in life, those are the moments you remember and the special moments in your own life. But again, like West Wing, what I loved about Parks and Rec is it went the extra mile, and it was a show that not only had a group of people band together, but they weren't trying to defeat the problem. I mean, they were, but they actually believed that the system, the thing they were a part of, was capable of real change and real growth and real achievement. You know, I may have mentioned this before, but there's this episode of Bullseye with Jesse Thorne where he's interviewing Dan Harmon, and he's talking about showing relatable change in a character on TV.
The thing that frustrates me about traditional sitcoms is that they are focused on the surface on warmth, and actually underneath, in a very real way, they're focused on the futility of experiment with change. I don't know how much time I have, but sitcom structure is driven not by any actual agenda to make people feel like they shouldn't change. It's simply driven by the fact that you have to have the same set next week and the same characters. They're all under contract. So for the sake of overhead, you have to hit the reset button at the end of each story. Traditional sitcom do the simpler thing with that need, which is to tell stories about people who try to change and find out at the end that they shouldn't have tried. So underneath, I think it's unintentional, but underneath your average sitcom, no matter how much of a veneer of like, oh, we're all happy, we're all family, and no matter how much lip service there is paid to that, there's an unmistakable structural like leitmotif of stay in your living room, stare at this tube, your neighbors are racist, you shouldn't get a haircut unless you think you need one. When you do, get the one you think you should get. Don't run up your credit cards too much, but run them up just enough. Like, just don't experiment too much with change. And I think the only reason is just because people gotta, you know, they gotta have the same sets next week. You can't make a Star Wars sitcom about blowing up the Death Star every week. You have to have coffee and talk about blowing up the Death Star one day. It's part of the format. So it's a little harder to tell stories within that format about people changing week to week.
And so that's why shows like Community and Parks and Rec stand out. Parks and Recreation is an idealistic show. And while there's still conflict and problems to overcome, there's optimism and there's encouragement. There's change. I think this show, like any good show, like any good story, and like some of the best parts of our lives, are reflected in this scene from Parks and Rec.
Closing statement.
I love this town. And when you love something, you don't threaten it. You don't punish it. You fight for it. You take care of it. You put it first. As your city councilor, I will make sure that no one takes advantage of Pawnee. If I seem too passionate, it's because I care. And if I come on strong, it's because I feel strongly. And if I push too hard, it's because things aren't moving fast enough. This is my home. You are my family. And I promise you, I'm not going anywhere.
There's a quote attributed to Robin Williams that says, "Comedy is acting out optimism." And while oversimplification can sometimes rob something of its nuances, I think that's a beautiful thought to end the episode with. And that doesn't mean that comedy is necessarily clean, or that it pulls its punches, or that it can't talk about anything difficult or painful. But to quote comedy's other often quoted definition, is that it's a release of tension. And maybe in that moment, a laugh, a smile, or a knowing grin just might create that optimism and idealism that we need from time to time. We're We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, I'm really excited to share with you a special sneak peek of a new project that I'm working on. Today's episode of the CISO C-Show is brought to you by Casper. The Casper mattress is designed and developed in the USA and engineered for comfort. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give just the right amount of sink and the right amount of bounce. And they have a risk-free trial. Try a Casper for 100 nights in your own home, and if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. And for listeners of this show, you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/CISO and using the promo code CISO. Or if you prefer, there's always the high-risk 100-day trial, where they place a mattress on top of Mount Everest, and if you can get to it in 100 days, it's yours for free. Just gotta figure out how to get it back down the mountain. That's Casper, casper.com/SEESO, and get $50 towards any mattress. Terms and conditions apply. So apparently this is the podcast recommendations episode. We talked about how to do everything from NPR and Bullseye with Jesse Thorne, and then, of course, the West Wing Weekly. And now this. I mentioned it a few episodes ago when we had James Mastriani and Drew DeFonso Marks on, but I've been working with James on a new podcast, and I'm really excited to share with you a clip from one of the upcoming episodes. The show is called I'm Too Effing High, and it's kind of like a talk show and game show where there's comedians and they play like improv games or at midnight style games, but they get high beforehand and it jokingly tries to address the question, are people more funny when they're high or not? But if you're just a fan of comedy and jokes, I think you'll really enjoy it. Here's a clip.
Let's get to our guests, shall we? We've got two really amazing comedians on the show today. Brandon Sornberger from, I performed with him in Outside Dog at UCB. He was a regular on Grandfathered with John Stamos. You're the lead in a movie.
I am.
Called
Buddy Solitaire.
Buddy Solitaire is the lead in a, it's about a stand-up comedian, right?
It's about a stand-up comedian with a very verbally and emotionally abusive mother. So it's hilarious.
Yeah. That's it's hilarious.
So funny.
Brandon, real fast, I ask every panelist this, what's your personal relationship to marijuana?
I started smoking in high school. I got caught and got sent to the guidance counselor.
Oh boy.
They told my parents I couldn't go to a college that didn't have like a strong supervision. Like I shouldn't have much freedom because this was going to continue as a bad path. But then I continued to smoke, off and on in college, and then I'll go through phases, and now I'm older and I still fairly frequently get high.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for your honest answer.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And our other guest today is Tim Baltz. Tim Baltz from Bajillion Dollar
Properties.
Yeah. Which is CISO, right?
It's CISO.
That's great. It's
a great show. Super funny.
Yeah.
Super funny. DJ Blue Dream was on it.
I was on it.
Oh, really?
That's why I just bugged it.
You had a great scene. I got to watch your scene from off camera because I was in the scene right after.
Oh.
It was great.
Tim is very funny in it.
You were very funny in it. It was great.
I wasn't in it.
James, we're going to get you in it.
Please. And you have a new show coming up too, right?
Yeah. So I'm about to leave for Chicago, or when this comes out, I'll probably be there filming. And that's a show called Shrink. It's also going to be on CISO. And it was something that we took to New York Television Festival in 2012 and won Best Comedy and Critics' Choice Award or whatever And we were like all hyped up. And then we had it at Pivot. Pivot bought it in 2013 and we had it there for a couple of years. And then I don't know if you follow Deadline, but Pivot basically like
they're gone. They got rid of
as of like a couple of weeks ago, the whole network's gone.
Really?
Yeah. So we got out probably like, I don't know, 6 months ago. We got out of there. Like they released us from that. And CISO picked it up. So we're about to shoot it, which is great.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you create it? Are you the creator of it or the
co-creator?
Co-creator?
Yeah. The guy who directed it, Ted Tremper, is the other co-creator. And it was completely improvised. It started as a web series in Chicago about a doctor who fails to match with any of the hospitals he applies to after he graduates from medical school.
Oh.
And because of that, he's $500,000 in debt and has no prospects and he defaults to doing clinical therapy as a way to keep his medical license.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But you have to register like 1920 hours of supervised clinical therapy and you can't charge. So he's $500,000 in debt and he has to do free therapy for patients.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was a very fun show.
Now I think this is a great premise, but if you want to go with another premise off the title of that, if I could pitch, so shrink, right?
Uh-huh.
So what if, cause it's like a double meaning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What if it was a super tiny therapist, like the size of your thumb?
How committed are you to the scripts you've written so far?
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely like, we'll find out in season two that there's like an Ant-Man shrink on his shoulder the whole time.
Okay, great.
Season two is all of season one.
Yeah.
But from a tiny camera on my shoulder.
I love it.
It's like a weird peep show.
It's basically like director's commentary, but it's me as a tiny me on my own shoulder being like, don't say that. Oh, this is good. This is going to make the cut. Shit, that's a fucking great idea.
Hey, thanks, man. You can Venmo me.
You accept CISO money?
Yeah, all right, I accept CISO. CISO in my Venmo. That's awesome. Congratulations. I can't wait to see that show, man.
Thanks, man.
That's
it's
such a great
very
idea.
Very fun. Very fun. Oh, FYI, not one of those people that gets high and plays it cool. One of those people that
favorite.
Gets high and is like, oh boy, my hands, right, guys?
My hands?
My hands, the way they feel.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
Smoke weed.
Very rarely.
I almost spit up.
Awesome, guys. So let's get into it. So our first segment is called a hypothetical situation.
What do you do when you got a situation that you know is all theoretical? But you're high when you're high, we call that situation hypothetical. It's a hypothetical situation. It's a hypothetical situation. It's a hypothetical situation. It's a hypothetical situation.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, man, I love it.
There's so many high puns. I feel like this is like pitch perfect with... the acapella part. Yes. You're just cramming them in there. Really.
Yep. Oh, thank you, buddy. Thank you very much.
I don't think
that.
You understand compliments.
I don't think you understand high puns.
You're probably correct.
So the theme for our hypothetical situation this week is religion, is going to be the theme. And, we're just going to have a little bit of fun with religion. I'm going to give you guys some prompts and, and you guys are going to, finish the prompts basically.
Great.
Are you guys religious at all? Am I offending either one of you by doing this?
I am not offended.
Oh, no, perfect. I was raised Catholic, but I'm not offended.
Oh, great. I was also raised Catholic.
Yeah?
I was too. All three of us.
Yeah. Confirmed?
Three lapsed Catholics.
Never confirmed.
I was confirmed.
Yeah, the Lord confirmed me as well.
I was
well.
Also
yeah,
married in no. a Catholic church.
You were?
Yeah, I think I'm one up on all of you guys.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Oh, way to rub in the fact that I'm not married.
Yeah, that's what really. Yeah.
Just another married guy bragging about it. Yeah, no, everybody's so envious.
I love it.
I wasn't raised Catholic. What does confirm mean?
That's when you become an adult in the face in the view of the church. So.
Does that make you more? Does that mean you're more committed to the church? Then?
Yeah, I guess it's one of the sacraments. Am I getting this right?
It is. Yeah,
yeah.
It's one of the
holy sacraments.
Holy sacraments.
Holy sacraments.
Sorry, I was looking at these note cards because I'm high and I get confused. This first thing that we're going to do is you guys are going to each give a high sermon. All right. I am going to give you the prompt to what it is that your sermon is about. So go ahead and take a look at the note card there. And so you've got a minute or so to notice. Why even give a time if I'm going to say a minute or so?
Yeah, you don't seem super committed about the time.
Yeah, I time really constraint. Don't. You know, I don't care about it.
We're talking like 60, 65 seconds.
Yeah, 60, okay. 65 seconds. Right. Yeah. It feels like it'd be weird and against the spirit of a stoner podcast if I was like, no, that time, Brandon, that time.
I love a type A stoner.
Stop talking about
it. They're so fun.
Who wants to go first?
That's it. That's all you get. But don't worry, that episode is actually coming out tomorrow. So if you want to hear the rest of it and the first two episodes, you can just search for I'm Too Effing High wherever you listen to podcasts. That's IMTOOEFFINGHIGH. So that's our show. Thanks so much for listening. If this episode inspired you to go back and watch old episodes of Parks and Recreation, you can find them on CISO.com. And if you want to follow our show on Twitter, it's at CISO Show. Thanks again for listening and hope you have a great week. Until next time.